Sherlock Holmes in Zodiac 13 by Scott McQuaid. Produced by Pop-Up Theater.
I want to report a double murder. If you go 1 mile east on Columbus Parkway to the public park, you'll find the kids in a brown car. They were shot with a 9mm Luger. I also killed those kids last year. Goodbye.
That call was made on July the 4th, 1969, from a gas station payphone in the city of Waleo of California's San Francisco Bay Area. Although this was not his first murder, it was certainly the one that launched him into the spotlight. The summer of 69 would prove to be somewhat of an eventful month in U.S. history. There was the Apollo 11 moon landing.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
They had the boxing champion, Cassius Clay, going to jail for refusing the draft to fight in the Vietnam War.
I'm not going to help nobody. If I'm going to die, I'll die now, right here fighting you.
And then came the murder spree that was just beginning.
This is Channel 7 News Scene, covering the Bay Area, the West, and the world.
A couple was shot last night at the Blue Rock Springs parking lot here in Vallejo. The killer called the police from a payphone just around the corner.
Holmes and I were in Los Angeles attending a hearing of the FBI field office. Sherlock was presenting evidence in the assassination case of New York Senator Robert F. Kennedy. The killing had happened a year before in the kitchen pantry of the Ambassador Hotel when a Palestinian immigrant named Sirhan Sirhan shot Senator Kennedy 3 times.
Senator Kennedy has been shot. Is that possible?
No.
Is that possible?
No.
It could.
No.
Is it possible, ladies and gentlemen? It is possible. He has. Not only Senator Kennedy. Oh, my God.
However, Holmes believed that there was a second gunman. He stood before a row of G-men in dark suits as he spoke through a microphone in the center of the room.
Senator Kennedy was shot once in the head and twice in the back. The location of his wounds clearly suggests that his assailant had stood behind him, but witness reports state that Sirhan stood facing west, about a yard away from Kennedy, as he moved through the hotel's pantry facing east. This is why there had to be a second gunman that took that fatal shot, which was behind Kennedy's right ear and had been fired at a distance of approximately 1 inch.
Based on the evidence you have put forward here today, Mr. Holmes, I'm afraid your request for reopening this case has been denied.
Holmes stormed out of the FBI offices into the street. I could hardly keep up with him. Sherlock, slow down!
Minions, all of them. They're afraid.
Who's afraid?
All of them, Watson. Just like his brother John Kennedy, Robert's assassination goes all the way up to the highest order. Taxi!
Where are we going?
Home.
But I thought we were going to have a few days' holiday here.
No, oh, what's the point, Watson? It's a town posing promise and riches, when in reality it's nothing more than a town of lies and debauchery. Airport.
You got it.
Well, that's got to be a first. We weren't even in the country for 24 hours and you want to leave.
California is no different from its other states.
Hey, I wouldn't say that.
I don't have the energy to pretend to like you today, sir. So I suggest you just drive.
You don't have to be rude to everybody else just because you're having a bad day.
You want to know what makes one place different from another?
No, I'm sure you're going to enlighten me.
It's the crime, Watson. The creative process and imagination that goes into a crime relates directly to its community. And I'm afraid there is nothing unique or special about the crime here.
You sure about that?
Oh, great. A taxi driver with an opinion. That's all I need.
Hey, what about this?
The Cypher Killer?
Yeah, some whack job killed a couple up in Vallejo. Yeah, he put like a secret message or something in the puzzle thing.
Puzzle? Let me see it. Interesting.
What is it?
It's a cryptogram.
A what?
A coded message. To make a cryptogram, you naturally start with a text of what you want to say. Then you make a key. In this case, the key consists of symbols, letters, numbers. Now, this tells you how to turn your plain text into enciphered cryptic text. So it's a matter of reverse engineering the design. So you start by reconstructing the very same key. Then use it in reverse to decipher the message back into its plain text.
Sounds complicated.
It is. This cipher has 408 characters.
Ah, that's going to take a lot of time to decipher.
Perhaps.
Are we still going to the airport, then?
We most certainly are. Only our destination has changed.
We arrived in San Francisco in the late afternoon and immediately headed downtown to the newspaper building of the San Francisco Chronicle.
Can I help you, gentlemen?
Yes. I want to see the journalist, Paul Avery.
I'm afraid Mr. Avery is busy at the moment. Can I ask what this is about?
It's about the cryptogram in his column. I've solved it.
Within minutes, we were whisked through the smoky offices, passing journalists as they frantically typed away on their noisy typewriters. Paul Avery was the police reporter for the Chronicle. He was very much a liberal and embodied the cliché journalist chasing that story no matter what the cost.
You deciphered the cryptogram.
Yes. Once I discovered the two cribs that I suspected would appear in the message, it all started to come together.
Cribs?
Yes, cribs are powerful cryptoanalytic tools because once a location is determined for them, several substitutions can be identified, which accelerates the unraveling process. Inspired by the killer's obvious craving for attention, I guess that the message would begin with the word I. I also believe the word kill or killing or even the phrase I like killing would appear somewhere in the message. And it does. Here.
Mr. Avery's eyes widened with both excitement and horror as he read the letter to himself. I got the sense that he had an image of the killer and was theatrically playing it out in his mind as he read.
I like killing people because it's so much fun. It is more fun than killing wild game in the forest, because man is the most dangerous animal of all. To kill something gives me the most thrilling experience. It's even better than getting your rocks off with a girl. The best part of it is that when I die, I will be reborn in paradise, and all the stray people I have killed will become my slaves. I will not give you my name because you will try to slow down or stop my collecting of slaves for my afterlife.
I gotta get this to my editor.
Could I see the letter he sent you?
Yeah, sure.
Sherlock's eyes scanned the letter as if he was looking for something in particular. Man is the most dangerous animal of all. Isn't that a line from a movie or something? The most dangerous game. Yes, that's it. It's about a count that hunts people to death as a game on his island. Yes, I remember seeing it as a boy. Count Zaroff was his name.
He has spelt certain words incorrectly on purpose. This is clearly done for misdirection.
He asked, he demanded that his cipher be printed on the front page of our paper.
Yes, I see. If you do not print this cipher by the afternoon of Fry, spelt F-R-Y, 1st of August 69, I will go on a kill rampage Fry night.
What's that symbol is drawn there?
We thought it looked like a gun sight.
How can you be sure this is really the killer?
because he mentioned specific details of the Vallejo victims that nobody but the police would know. Listen, I spoke to the Vallejo police station, and they confirmed they had two unsolved firearm-related murders. One at Christmas, and one on July 4th, which are the killings he's talking about in these letters. All the details he mentions are correct. This is definitely from the killer. He also sent the same letter to the Examiner and the Times Herald.
And you printed the cipher. Risky move. You could be encouraging him.
Yeah, but if we didn't, he said he would kill more people.
And yet you defied his orders. He requested his cryptogram to feature on the front page, but you printed it on page 4.
I'm not the editor of the paper. It's not my decision.
But it will be his.
Just 6 days later, the killer sent another letter, which contained much of the same ramblings as the first letter, describing how he's done the killings. Only in this letter, he'd given himself a name. The opening line of the letter read, "Dear Editor."
This is the Zodiac speaking.
Napa Police Department.
I want to report a murder. No, a double murder. I'm the one who did it.
The crime scene was Lake Berryessa. The date, September the 27th. Two college students, Brian Hartnell and Cecilia Shepherd, were relaxing along the shore of the lake when a man appeared holding a gun, wearing a hooded costume with a white crossed circle stitched over the chest. The man proceeded to bind the couple's wrists and stab them to death. The man then walked to the victim's car and used a pen to draw a crossed circle on the door, with the dates and locations of the previous attacks. The date, September 27, 69, the time, 6:30, and the notation, by knife. At 7:40 p.m., the man then called the Napa Police Department to report his murder. Cecilia died 2 days later in hospital, but Brian survived. Holmes and I extended our stay in San Francisco to assist with the ongoing case. We had shortly arrived at the Queen of the Valley Hospital in Napa when Deputy Dave Collins met us in the hallway.
You're the British detectives, right?
That we are. I'm Dr. Watson, and this is Sherlock Holmes.
Good to meet you. I'm Deputy Collins. I spoke to the Inspector Lestrade from Scotland Yard, so whatever you boys need, you just let me know.
Is he awake?
Yeah, Ray and I were first on the scene. I tell you, it was gruesome. I mean, what kind of sick bastard could do such a thing? What goes through their mind?
You either control your mind or it controls you.
Say what now?
Where's the patient, deputy?
Oh, right. In here. Brian, these are detective consultants from England. They're helping us with the case.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Hartnell, what can you tell us about the man that attacked you?
He first said that he was robbing us, and that he had escaped from prison, and needed a car and money to get to Mexico. So we complied. We thought it would be over. He put us on the hood of the car, and then he started to stab us.
He stabbed you first.
Yeah, then he started working on Cecilia, first stabbing her in the back and then the front. Oh, God.
So he turned her around and continued to stab her in the chest.
Yes.
But he didn't turn you around.
No.
Thank you very much for your time, Mr. Hartnell.
How many times were they stabbed, Deputy Collins?
Well, Brian was stabbed 6 times in the back, and Celia Shepherd, she was stabbed 10 times. 5 in the front and 5 in the back.
This shows us that the Zodiac Killer feels a great hatred towards women. He wanted to punish this girl.
Classic psychosis. Perhaps he was wronged by a woman in some way.
Yes, I concur. Two killings in Vallejo, one in Napa. Where's he heading next?
Paul Stein was a 28-year-old student and husband. He worked as a cab driver in San Francisco. On the night of October the 11th, he picked up a fare and headed for a destination in the upscale Presidio Heights neighborhood. At the intersection of Washington and Cherry Streets, the car came to a stop, and then... the passenger had shot Mr. Stein in the back of the head. He died instantly. The man walked away just before the police arrived, but the police radio broadcast mistakenly described the suspect as a black man, and passing officers dismissed a white man resembling the correct description of the killer on their way to the crime scene. A few days later, the San Francisco Chronicle received an envelope with a letter from the Zodiac, which began with the words,
"I am the murderer of the taxi driver."
The Zodiac killer mocked the police for failing to catch him, despite blatantly walking past them. In the envelope, he included a piece of the blood-stained shirt belonging to the deceased cab driver. The entire city of San Francisco was captivated by the Zodiac killer, both in fear and intrigue. This dark entertainment reached its peak when on October the 22nd, a man claiming to be the Zodiac called into the Jim Dunbar Show, which was a morning talk show in the Bay Area.
Talk to us. Just tell us what's going on inside you right now, Sam, please.
I have headache.
How long have you had those headaches?
Since I killed a kid.
Why did you want to talk to Mr. Belli?
I don't want to be hurt.
This call was later determined to be a hoax.
Fish! Fresh fish!
The date was November the 9th, and our one-week stay in the United States had now blossomed into 3 months and counting. We sat at a small restaurant outside, overlooking the Fisherman's Wharf's waterfront. Sherlock, why do you insist on eating breakfast at a fish market? It doesn't matter what I eat, I can only smell fish.
My dear Watson, ocean air has health benefits. The negative ions in sea air accelerate your ability to absorb oxygen.
Yes, I know. It helps balance your serotonin levels, which moderate your mood and stress levels. But I can tell you, I'm not feeling very relaxed here. When are we going home? Sherlock did not answer. He was engrossed in the newest cryptogram, the Z340. Z for Zodiac, and there were 340 symbols in this cipher. We can't afford to stay another 3 months. I admit it's an intriguing case, but we have nothing to go on. This serial killer doesn't seem to have a pattern or a clear MO.
I wouldn't be so sure of that.
Really? Indulge me.
Very well. Let's look at the first attack that we know he did for sure.
The Vallejo couple, Michael and Darlene.
Yes. He shot Michael in the jaw, shoulder and leg, and then shot Darlene several times. She died, but he survived. Then observe the student couple, Brian and Cecilia. Brian was stabbed 6 times.
And she was stabbed 10 times. Yes, I know he has a dislike towards women. You stated this.
Ah, but it is in his attempts to kill his male victims that interests me.
Ah, how so?
He shot his victim, Michael, in the side of the jaw, stabbed Brian in the back, and he shot the taxi driver in the back of the head. What does this tell us?
He lacks confidence in confronting men.
Right you are, Watson. After all, out of these 3 murders, 2 of the male counterparts survived.
Okay. But what about his criminal pattern? I don't see any.
It's abundantly clear to say this killer craves the headlines. His intentions in writing these letters and creating these ciphers for the authorities are narcissistic and self-gratifying. That is to create terror, gain notoriety, and demonstrate intellectual superiority. He's not so much about the kill as he is more about the game and the fame.
Yeah, he's defiantly seeking validation.
Unlike most serial killers that are branded by the press with a name, he chose his own. The Zodiac. Now, what does that represent?
Astrology?
You are right as much as you are wrong. It is a common misconception that the zodiac is based on astrology, with all those ridiculous signs of meanings and characteristics and other such baseless claims. Now, the actual origins of the zodiac are based on astronomy. When the zodiac was originally defined, the solstices and equinoxes were a critical part of the definition of the zodiac.
I always thought you were more of an earthbound person, Holmes. I thought that planets, space, and the universe had no place in your world.
And you would be right. However, the zodiac is a celestial navigational system, and that relates directly down to Earth, making it relevant for me.
Navigational? I don't quite follow.
Take the night sky and divide it up into 30-degree slices. Now, in each of those slices, you place a constellation, and that's the zodiac. So the division of the night sky is connected to the solstices and equinoxes. It's a celestial map, mainly used in nautical navigation.
And what does this have to do with the zodiac killings?
I believe he has a methodology to his murders, and this stems from committing his murders during the equinoxes and solstices, meaning that he is active in winter, summer, autumn, and spring. Now, December 1968 aligns with the winter solstice, and I summarize that he started with this time period because it is where the day is shortest and the night is longest. It is as if he's giving birth to his zodiac persona at the height of darkness with his first kill during the longest night.
But what about the spring equinox? Why didn't he kill then?
Well, murder is somewhat of an opportunist's act. Maybe he missed his window. And then we have the summer solstice in Vallejo, with the attack on Michael Magoo and Darlene Ferrin. We move on to the autumn equinox and the attacks at Lake Berryessa on Brian Hartnell and Cecilia Shepherd.
But what about the cab driver, Paul Stein? That's not aligned with any of the solstices and equinoxes.
Correct. And that's why I was reluctant to put this theory forward. But then one has to consider that he's only got his first big headline after his attack on the victims at Lake Berryessa. And that read, Police Dare Cipher Killer. I think he took that dare and brought it to the doorstep of San Francisco.
And that's why he kills a city cab driver.
Yes, he is building momentum and trying to grab more headlines. He is evolving.
But that would mean his kill rate would have to go up. He would have to do something more drastic than the next.
Precisely.
What's this?
Today's paper.
Oh my God! The paper read, Zodiac killer warns school bus children may be next victims.
Ah, that's the way to do it.
Excuse me?
The cipher. I've cracked it.
Really? Well, what does it say?
Unfortunately, nothing that revealing. I find this killer to be somewhat tedious. It says...
I hope you're having lots of fun trying to catch me. That wasn't me on the TV show. Which brings up a point about me. I'm not afraid of the gas chamber because it will send me to paradise all the sooner. Because I now have enough slaves to work for me. Where everyone else has nothing when they reach paradise. So they are afraid of death. I am not afraid, because I know that my new life will be an easy one in paradise, death.
I deduce that this killer is very analytical and of above average intelligence, also religious in his own twisted form.
Are you going to inform the police?
No, it's better for the Zodiac to think his codes are unbreakable. That way he might eventually reveal something of worth.
Well, what about this threat on the school bus? Do you think he's serious? I mean, you're the one that said he's accreting his kills now.
This is a ruse merely to create panic and keep his name relevant in the papers. He's not going to kill children. I think it's time.
It didn't take Holmes and I long to settle back into London life. Inspector Lestrade had frequently visited our Baker Street residence seeking assistance in a case about corruption within the Metropolitan Police and its flying squad that would be renamed in the Times newspaper as the Dirty Squad. The following year, on March 22, 1970, during the spring equinox, the Zodiac resurfaced. The story goes that 20-year-old Kathleen Johns was driving along Highway 132 near Modesto with her infant daughter in her station wagon when another vehicle pulled alongside her and signaled for her to pull over.
What does this guy want?
The driver approached Kathleen and explained that the back wheel of her car was loose and said he could fix the problem. Instead, he loosened the lug nuts and the wheel fell off as she tried to drive away. The man then offered to drive Kathleen to a gas station. Shortly after climbing into his car, she soon discovered he had other plans. The man seemed confused. He didn't expect his victim to have a daughter or for her to be 7 months pregnant. He drove around for a couple of hours, unsure what to do, until Kathleen had grabbed her daughter and jumped from the car. Luckily, a passing driver picked her up and took them both to a nearby police station, where she identified the stranger from a police sketch as the Zodiac. Months later, a Zodiac letter mentioned this incident when he said,
"A rather interesting ride with a woman and her baby."
On April the 20th, the Zodiac sent a letter that contained the most important cryptogram he had ever penned. Z13 was his shortest cipher. It is preceded by the words, "My name is." These 13 symbols had plagued Sherlock's sleep. Although he had taken on other cases within London, his mind was never too far from the ultimate puzzle, the identity of the Zodiac killer. It was a Saturday evening on June 27th, 1970, and Sherlock and I had just finished dinner. It's around this time that I would usually relax in my chair and read the evening newspaper. However, all their delivery vans stood idle in Fleet Street. The print workers were on strike, demanding a 25% wage increase. I wonder how long this strike's going to last. It's very inconvenient.
It's very hot in here, gents. Let's open a window, shall we? It's such a lovely evening. Oh, I wonder who that could be.
Open the door and the mystery will be solved, Mrs. Hudson.
I don't appreciate that kind of tone, Sherlock.
Who do you suppose?
Lestrade.
All right, lads. Nice warm evening, eh?
Haven't you got something more compelling to tell us, aside from your basic contribution to the atmospheric process?
I just thought I'd stop by and let you know that your tip about the Soho pawn baron, Jimmy Humphreys, checked out. He was indeed paying protection money to the police flying squad. You were right.
Lestrade, I don't need you to confirm that I am right. I already know that. Hearing it from a lesser source does not merit my work anymore.
Right. Okay. Then I'll be off. Oh. What did you think about the map code?
Map code? What are you talking about?
The Zodiac's map code in the paper. Haven't you seen it?
No, we haven't. No paper delivery.
Oh, well, I've got a copy here.
Give it here.
Holmes frantically combed over the Z32 cipher in the newspaper. This cryptogram was perhaps the strangest of all the ciphers. A symbol closely resembling a gun sight, used by the Zodiac to sign off on all his letters, was now drawn on a map of the San Francisco Bay Area. The Zodiac had also included a bomb recipe and a diagram of the explosive. He had written,
"The map coupled with this code will tell you where the bomb is set."
Magnetic North. Strange. How many people would bother to distinguish North from Magnetic North?
Sailors, I suppose.
North in a compass, or as they say, true north, is the direction that points directly towards the geographic North Pole, whereas magnetic north is the direction that a compass needle points to as it aligns with the Earth's magnetic field. What is interesting is that the magnetic North Pole shifts and changes over time in response to changes in the Earth's magnetic core. It is never a fixed point.
What are you saying, that Zodiac's target will keep changing?
Like all his so-called clues, it is uncertain.
But you think the gun sight with the map coordinates marks where his bomb is hidden?
I never assumed his signature drawing was a gun sight, and in this map cipher, I'm quite sure it's not. Quite clearly, a compass rose used in nautical and celestial navigation.
Holmes started a rummage around his writing desk. He found a ruler and placed it on the Zodiac's map. Holmes quickly traced a direct line in the correct measurements from Mount Diablo across the map into the San Francisco Bay Area.
4 inches would equal 25.6 miles. Therefore, 4 inches subtended from Mount Diablo would land in the sea.
That can't be right.
Well, I'm lost when it comes to this sort of thing. But then, I was never any good in geography at school.
No surprise there, Lestrade. I'm amazed you can navigate your way to this address.
Sherlock, I don't appreciate you always insult.
It's interesting that he uses the word radians, which is a word not active in the vocabulary of 99% of the US population. 4 radians plus a hashtag. Wait, the hashtag equals 1, which would make it 5 inches, not 4. Then we draw a straight line 5 inches along the radian from its origin point, Mount Diablo, and you get Mount Tamalpais.
Where is Mount Tamalpais?
By the looks of it, it's a state park in California.
Why would he want to bomb a state park?
That's just a ruse to create panic and get himself in the papers.
So, what's at Mount Tamalpais?
He is.
You think he would be so bold to place his location in a cipher?
Of course, he's already put his name in a cipher.
Yeah, Z13, which nobody's been able to crack.
Well, that's not entirely true.
You cracked it? What, you have a name?
3, actually. All we have to do is run these possible names with a location on that map and see if it presents a registered address to one of them. Come, Watson. The game is afoot.
Welcome to San Francisco International Airport. If you have traveled...
Some detective work needs nothing more than a phone book. And that's all it took for us to run the 3 possible names Sherlock had encrypted from Cipher Z13. And just as Sherlock had predicted, one of those names matched a registered homeowner in Mount Tamalpais in Mill Valley. We immediately made our way up the mountain. I remember passing the most crooked railroad I'd ever seen. By the time we reached Mill Valley, it was evening. The little town was very picturesque, with its lush greenery and reservoirs. One could not imagine that such a dark, disturbed individual could live here. But then again, solitude can do much damage to a person's mental health. I stood waiting in anticipation, my heart beating increasingly harder in my chest. What would this monster look like? Finally, we will come face to face with the boogeyman that had terrorized the Bay Area for over a year.
Yes?
The man said calmly as he stood in the doorway.
Ah, Mr...
What do you want?
I'm following up on your invitation.
What are you talking about?
Your cipher. I solved it. So here I am.
What? You couldn't have.
And yet, I'm here. Perhaps we should go inside, as I'm sure you'll agree, it's a delicate matter.
I remained frozen, both in shock, fear, and amazement. Sherlock had done the impossible. He had found the Zodiac Killer, and he was nothing like I imagined. This ruthless, unpredictable mastermind killer looked ordinary.
Are the police coming?
That's entirely your decision.
What do you mean?
Well, if you continue your killing spree, then yes, they will come here and arrest you. But as of now, they won't.
Because they have no evidence.
Precisely.
Then why should I start?
Because I have already put forward your name as a prime suspect. You will be put under surveillance, making it impossible for you to operate. So if you attempt to kill again, you will be caught and sentenced to prison. No more headlines, no more fear, no more games. The Zodiac is caught, the myth is gone, he has a name, he has a life, and this makes him ordinary. You'd become yesterday's story.
But if I do nothing, they won't arrest me.
They can't. As you pointed out, there is no evidence that links you to the murders. You're an analytical person, so analyze your current position.
With no evidence, there's no indication of whether a belief or proposition is true or valid. But the examination will continue, separating its whole into its component parts.
Indeed. The Zodiac is the whole, and you are one of the parts. They will watch you, observe your behavior, follow your patterns. In conclusion, if you continue to kill, they will catch you. If you refrain from your extracurricular activities, well, you'll probably be able to live out the rest of your life unnoticed.
Unnoticed?
Yes, but at least the Zodiac would live on. After all, that's what you want, don't you? For people to live in fear. Well, what could be a greater fear than the unknown? Them never knowing who he is and if he would strike again.
The Zodiac, if you could call him that, stood in the center of the room with his slouched posture and his face drained of color. Sherlock had sucked all the life from him. He looked unsure, helpless, and defeated.
Oh, I do have something to keep you occupied in your new mundane life.
Sherlock placed a piece of paper onto the coffee table in front of him.
It's my own personal cryptogram.
As Holmes and I reached the bottom of the pathway, the local sheriff pulled up.
Mr. Holmes, is it?
Yes, Sheriff.
I got your message. So, this is the guy?
I'm afraid so, but as I explained on the telephone earlier, he won't be a problem, so long as somebody is always watching him.
Yeah, I sure would feel better with a search warrant.
Do what you must to satisfy your own curiosity, but you'd find nothing. He would have covered his tracks. He's a clever man.
Eh, all right.
The Zodiac killing stopped, but the letters continued. The San Francisco Chronicle continued to print small articles noting his correspondences, which mostly spoke about victims he had killed that were yet to be identified. His last letter came in April 1978 with the opening line, "I'm back." But his desperation for attention in those letters failed to capture the public's fear and imagination. With no actual killings and only the threat of intent, the news soon moved on. Just before Holmes and I left San Francisco, we took one last walk along the pier of Fisherman's Wharf. We stared across the sea at the glorious Golden Gate Bridge. And then I asked, what was the cipher you gave him?
Nothing.
What?
It's complete gibberish, and it will torture him for the rest of his life, trying to figure it out.
Holmes had created a far greater punishment than jail time for the Zodiac. He had allowed him to be free amongst the people he loathed and taken away his ability to be famous. Sherlock had often said that people were like puzzles. They just take time and patience to understand.